Hey everybody, it's producer Peter. The recording with our friend Lunchbox, Nick Cage artist and tattoo artist, got a little funky with the audio. We ended up having to use sort of our scratch track from Discord to make sure everything was as audible as possible. And it's not perfect at all times, so I apologize for that. But I think you can still get the gist and have a good time with us. So thanks for listening.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Woo! Yeah, I love the fact that we had to have a conversation about your government name and your actual name.
I probably forgot your bored. Government name, but I do thoroughly respect the application of the term.
How did you end up as Lunchbox?
The name I was born with was a little too common down in Alabama where I was going to college. There's like five of us in the circle, so we all ended up getting nicknames. It originally came from Dogma. Osama Bob was called Lunchbox once, and between that, just my eating habits back then, it kind of stuck. And then I kept it professionally because my names were way too common. Matthew and Chris are names people forget all the time.
Yeah, I mean, so, that makes a ton of sense.
It's a surprising how often people forget their artist's name. They just go into a tattoo shop. They're like, I don't know, there's a guy with gauges and tattoos.
It's like, that's not a good clue, man.
I don't know. He's like mid-height. He had short hair. So, but yeah, no, people remember this much more. I get a lot more comments on my name than they used to.
I have a very generic appearance, so I blend into a lot of...
It's fucking true. Every time I go out, I see someone who I think is you, but it's not you.
Because I don't go out.
Just one of those faces.
That's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was your first clue.
It's beyond just face. It's like a walk and a body, too. You're just like an everyman.
Just a confidence.
Yeah. Well, it's the confidence. Yeah. That's really what gets it.
He's just a confidence man. That's it.
Yeah,
exactly. You get it.
You know, now that I think about it, I don't ever see you out. I see you in my house and I see you at the bar.
Yeah.
But never in between.
I've got a tunnel. It takes me between the two.
So are you just the
car though?
Are you just the silver four-door car of people? Because that's what I drive. I get it lost in a parking lot all the time. I constantly forget where I park because it has no distinguishing features.
I actually tried to go the opposite way when I bought my last car, and I bought just a bright orange Subaru. And so you
always can find that.
Yeah. It was good for like a couple months, and then all of a sudden it's like there's three bright orange Subarus on my block.
Yeah, every time I see one, I'm like, oh, it's Nick. It's not.
There's four in this neighborhood alone, not including when you come to visit.
They're everywhere now.
It's the burden of being a trendsetter.
That's right.
I guess. Everybody kind of looked at me in that thing, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, that kind of looks like it was me driving it. Like, you get a gauge of like how good you would look whenever I sit in a vehicle, and you're like, yeah. Okay, that could work.
See, I don't see that. But I don't look anything like you.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if I sat in front of a taco truck.
Whoa, all right.
What? Sean likes to eat.
I do. And I do like tacos.
Yeah.
Tacos are good. Undeniably.
I gotta make this weird.
They don't know what I look like, Peter.
That's true.
Yeah,
of course they do. They look at your face all the time on the art.
That's fair.
They don't know which one's which.
You're the one who looks like everybody.
What was the last drawing I had posted? And can I post pictures in this channel? What number did I get?
General is X-Men 97 is so good. It is.
It's great.
Is it? I've been hearing that.
It's amazing. I actually got a Cyclops tattoo because I got so into X-Men 97.
That's pretty hardcore.
Well, it's right next to my Magneto tattoo that I've had for 10 years now.
So. Oh, God. It's Brent Ryan versus Bill Furpo. Fucking Bill Furpo. I hate that is a name that I just always remember.
What's that from?
Trapped in Paradise.
Oh.
No, full disclosure, I have not watched these.
You haven't watched all of them?
Not all of them. I've watched a lot of them.
What's your body count at this point?
I don't know what my body count is. I've seen most of the Nick Cage movies, or at least the relevant ones, I feel.
I thought I had seen a lot of the relevant ones before, too, but it turns out I had only watched like seven Nicolas Cage movies.
Now you've watched like 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're at 74.
74?
Yeah.
We did. Part of this started because we were going to watch Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Me and my brother got this idea for us to watch everything that was even vaguely mentioned in that movie.
Okay.
So you've seen The Croods?
Yes. Just The Croods too. We had a friend of ours who watched it with us just describe The Croods one. Hey, we figured that'd be good enough. And it was. I was not lost at all.
Yeah, I feel like you probably got the gist pretty easily on that one.
Yeah. Were there any that you watched that you regretted watching?
I think there were some stinkers in there. There's got to be.
Was it Guarding Tess?
Candy Pirelli's Mandolin wasn't as boring as I expected it to be.
No, that movie's like shockingly not terrible.
It's yeah, so it was mediocre. It's just fine.
Yeah.
I would also describe it as shockingly not terrible. Like, how about that?
Yeah. Perfect. That's also what we came to last episode.
Yeah. Again. Like, yeah. I'm sure, like, the first time we watched it, we're like, I don't know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not that other movie, so.
Yeah. It was better than whatever it was that other time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I know there are worse Nick Cage movies, for sure.
Well, I'm just going to jump right in here, otherwise we're never going to get to it.
True.
Welcome back to Cage Match, a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm your host, Sean, here with my co-host.
Nick. Sorry, you came in real hard on that colon, and I got excited. I wanted to colon.
And our producer, Sonny. Colon.
With acid yellow, here. Sorry.
Oh boy. Yeah. So what do we do here, Sean?
We take 64 Nicolas Cage movies as decided by us in bracket style March Madness down to the two cagiest films as decided by Nick and myself and sometimes Peter.
Yeah.
But never our guests.
No. Sorry, Lunchbox.
It's fine.
Also, who are you?
Who are you and why are you in our Discord?
I was invited. I started a year and some odd time ago. I started the challenge of drawing every Nick Cage, and now here I am.
It's a beautiful endeavor.
It is. Like, there's a certain zen to it. I started to worry, like, maybe like a dozen in, but like, really, after you've drawn him like 20 something times, you kind of get like a Stockholm syndrome for it, I feel.
Yeah, we feel that.
We get it.
Yeah, like you see his face in your dreams and stuff.
Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for nearly, 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2 years in July.
Yeah. 2 years, two apartments.
Yeah, it's a long time. I've been doing this for at least a year. Been drawing for longer, but drawing Nick Cage for a year or so.
It would be amazing if that was the way you started getting into drawing. Kind of like that guy who was drawing Vin Diesel every day.
I just have to draw this man. And like, this is going to lead me to my passion in drawing. He's my muse.
I must paint you.
There was a guy who was drawing Mike Trout every day until like something happened with it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That's weird. Like, I didn't really follow it, so I don't know if they improved or not, or if they even stuck with it. I saw like 5 Mike Trout drawings, and I was like, that's a really weird thing. Also, what a great name. Thanks,
that's
Reddit.
That's a good.
Yeah, thanks Reddit for a lot of this. I mean, we wouldn't have found each other if not for Reddit. So there you go.
So, you know, there's something it did.
Yeah.
Star-crossed lovers.
Do you have a favorite Nicolas Cage you've drawn so far?
Oh, man, there has been some fun. I did get to draw him with the bee helmet on. Enjoyed that.
Yep. That was a good one.
I liked drawing red just because I like red. Big fan of Mandy. I actually wore my Cheddar Goblin shirt. For like,
oh,
you know,
sick.
Oh yeah, nice representation.
Yeah. Let me go check.
I didn't want to seem like I came in biased, but I'm wearing my Wild at Heart shirt today. So
oh nice. I mean, I tried to go.
I do want a Willy's Wonderland shirt.
You wore a Willy Wonderland shirt?
I want one.
Yeah.
You're not on camera. You could just say you were wearing a Willy's Wonderland shirt.
Yeah, say it now. Take a fresh take.
No, I've already admitted I haven't. I refuse to lie.
Oh, good.
The sin would be just vocal. Yes. Like, we'd hear it.
We could tell the lie was in your voice.
I have my integrity.
Yeah, your integrity.
Said no one hosting a Nicolas Cage podcast. Yeah,
definitely not this podcast.
You know what was fun was drawing the animated Nick Cages, because it was kind of like this little island in the middle of all of his faces. I get to draw something actually different.
Wait, did you draw G-Force?
Yeah, yeah, I drew the mole from G-Force not long ago.
Fuck yeah.
Speckles.
But I know what his character looked like, and I know its name, because that's what I spent all the time looking.
Unfortunately, I remember all of the hamster names from that. It's like, why is that stuck in my brain? Like,
hit that's me just, with him.
Okay, so there's Darwin, Juarez, Blaster, and Hurley.
Huh. Yeah, what about Steve Buscemi?
I can't remember what the mice were named.
He was a hamster.
Hamster, whatever, fucking same thing.
God damn it, respect the film.
Respect the craft.
I don't know, his name was probably like Nibbles.
I know, that sounds pretty good. I think I believe that.
I'm not gonna check.
Yeah.
Good enough for us. We're a serious podcast here.
Well, speaking of animated Nicolas Cages, I think we do have to discuss briefly the Spider-Man Noir is happening.
Yeah.
Live action Cage Spider-Man.
Yeah, this week in Cage.
Yeah.
Seems like that's gonna be a real deal.
Yeah.
You know, we might be living at the end of days, but fuck if it isn't a ride.
Also, the surfer got a 6-minute standing O at Cannes.
I know.
So yeah. They say it's like a real return to like a Mandy-esque kind of performance.
Fuck yeah.
Pretty excited for the surfer.
And we also have long legs.
Which we know continues to show us like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a weird lady cop just with a voiceover.
Yeah. I like Cage's current trajectory in like more horror and
creepy shit.
Yeah, creepy shit films. I think, you know, he's moved past action. He's too old for that.
Well, and definitely romantic comedy is out the window at this point.
I beg to differ.
We could have a return to form there.
I mean, it could be like an About Schmidt situation.
Mandy's a love story.
Mandy's old at this point.
Mandy is a love story, though. Like, I will agree with that. It's a lost love story.
I think it's also a lost love story. Sorry, spoilers.
I mean, like, Unforgiven's kind of a love story, right? That's not a Nick Cage movie. There are movies that other people were in. It was a Clint Eastwood movie.
We don't watch those.
We don't have time.
Yeah, truly, we don't have time. I'm about to have a baby. I mean, not me, but...
Oh, geez.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. You're a man. You can say it.
That's true.
Don't limit yourself.
Thank you.
You're a man. Me down. The world's your oyster. Give birth.
You're a white man.
Yeah, true.
So, as I was saying, on this podcast, we take two Nicolas Cage movies and decide which is the best Cage's film, as decided by Nick and myself. And this week, we are discussing David Lynch's Wild at Heart and some other guy's Willy's Wonderland.
Some other guy's Willy's Wonderland.
Nailed it.
I want to talk about Willy's Wonderland. Mostly, I want to talk about the character of Tex.
McAdoo.
Tex McAdoo. And why does he have a fake mustache on?
Well, because he's from Texas, so he needs a mustache. But I'm sure they found the actor like a week beforehand.
I just love his shitty grin. As he's like, and now you're an employee.
Yeah. It just seemed like such an odd thing. Okay, so you confirmed that the mustache was fake.
Oh, it's hella fake. It looks like it's a piece of paper with like 9 hairs across
it. At least it wasn't CGI.
Take that, Joss Whedon's Justice League. You had a relevant hot take.
Well, that was the removal of a mustache,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, this is the inversion.
Okay, you got me there.
Yeah.
I would love to see a fake like CG added mustache that like kind of slides in the frame and like the animation doesn't
Snapchat
like,
filter.
Stick, right? Yeah. Every once in a while, it kind of disappears, and you have dog ears, big tongue that just licks the audience.
You got it.
It was a terrible movie.
So, Lunchbox, had you seen Willy's Wonderland at this point?
No, this is the first time. This is the first time I'd seen Willy's Wonderland. It was okay.
How do you feel about our namesake here not having a single line of dialogue?
That I liked. Actually, one big criticism I'd have, I think the movie could have done better with less dialogue. Even with a silent protagonist, I feel like there was too much talking in the movie.
Yeah, those kids do talk a lot.
It's mostly exposition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I think in my notes I wrote where there was two separate exposition dumps that just tell you the backstory.
I mean, you could have cut dialogue in the... super happy fun room or whatever when the kids are getting down. You just need like sex, ugh, quick look over, and then like
sex,
alligators doing like nothing now. So also I think it would have been great if the gator popped up out of the ball pit.
I was going to say, that's still my biggest beef with this movie is no kid dies in the ball pit by the alligator.
Yeah, why was there no monster in the ball pit? I watched this with my wife, and the first thing she said was like, oh, crap, a ball pit. You know, there's snakes in that thing. Like, oh, I don't like ball pits.
So it's a so good.
There's just pee in a ball pit. Like, relax.
Crocodile just sits up like the Undertaker.
This is kind of like wasted opportunity, the movie.
Yeah.
Like, a couple more good decisions, and they would have had a pretty solid, like, B-horror movie. Like, if Sam Raimi had made this, it would have been great.
Fuck yeah.
If it was, like, puppets instead of, like, an excessive CG, and if, like, they didn't talk so much, because I feel like it definitely took me out of it every time they talked and then got all CG. They cut around for the...
A lot of them are puppets. Like, the ostrich was a puppet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one you can tell. And the ostrich was pretty solid. And they had the good, like, Sub-Zero spine rip. Like, that one was good. I was a big fan of that one.
The ostrich and the gorilla are the two best fight scenes, I feel.
On this watch through, I really enjoyed the Nighty Night fight again.
I do love Nighty Night.
Just that enormous thick foam sword and, like, just suspending disbelief and being like, that could totally cut a person in half.
Absolutely.
It's like 4 inches of foam, but it could
it's cleave sharp a human. Foam.
Yeah, it's got Satan's edge to
There's
it.
Some sort of lacquer on it. I don't know.
How long do you think he's taking those breaks?
I mean,
is he taking a full 15?
Maybe just a 10.
Yeah, it seems like a 10.
How often did he take a break?
Because he's taking like six in that one evening, that one night.
I guess Tex never said how many breaks to take, and he never takes a lunch. So
he doesn't take a lunch. That's true. Just punch pop.
He also renovates an entire business in a night, which seems a little much.
Where did the teen bodies go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't think about this my first viewing, and I thought about it today. A bunch of teens died, but he finished cleaning that place up. So are they just like in the dumpster?
Yeah. Like, as long as they held up their end of the deal, he agreed to this.
I think the animatronics eat them.
He did spend extra pounds on the pinball machine. And that was all great. Everything with the pinball machine, including his improvised disco dance.
That was so good.
That's my favorite scene for sure. And just the like power move at the end.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I like the kind of frosted lens, like kind of soft colors, like beaming through as he's just.
Oh, he's fucking feeling that thing.
Yeah, like he's tripping out on whatever drink he's drinking. He's gotten in the zone. It's the pinball. For some reason, they spend a lot of time on the pinball machine.
They do spend a lot of time with the pinball machine, and I like that. It's a nice break from the ridiculousness of the premise of the movie.
Is this a sequel to Tommy?
The pinball wizard?
Yeah.
The pinball barbarian? where are we going to go with that?
He is kind of a barbarian. Now, for headcanon, it makes me enjoy the movie to believe that this is just Red on his way back from somewhere. This is just like a noteworthy experience for him.
My headcanon is he's a high level like fighter or something that just happens to be in a low level dungeon. He just has to clear it. Like, it's less work for him to just do the quest than to go around and get his car fixed elsewise. So he just shows up and it's like, fine, I'll kill your little monsters, but you're not going to get a word out of me for it.
I think he was in a former life, he was a costume mascot somewhere.
No, you think he's a water baby with...
Water baby?
Wait, what does that mean?
What does that mean, Nick?
I'm assuming it means he has water for brains.
Oh, I gotcha.
Okay. Ostrich comes to life, tries to kill you. Maybe that's a one-off. You go back to cleaning. When the gorilla, like, noob Sabots into the bathroom and a gorilla greetings you. All right, maybe just preemptively take out a couple more animatronics.
Yeah, like he has some weird moral code against killing them when they're not trying to kill him. Like, beat the shit out of those fucking things.
To be fair, the like constraints of the quest were not kill the animatronics. It was clean up. Yeah.
Yeah, if we're talking about quests, you're right. That's actually a really good point.
Wasting time destroying the robots. It just takes away from the amount of cleaning.
Well, not to mention, it's vandalizing the property you're restoring anyway.
Very true. Good point.
At some point, he was going to have to buff Willy's tough.
I do like how him and Willy, when they have their fight, Willy kicks his ass, throws him in the ball pit, then just like goes for a pee.
Yeah.
Just wanders off so he can get up and go like load up his burlap sack with punch pop and like tape a broom handle together instead of, you know, going and picking up that shotgun.
Yeah, I don't know how the sack of soda was the most effective way.
Well, when Willie stepped on the shotgun, he broke it. Oh, okay. So the shotgun was out of commission.
Here's something I noticed on this viewing. When the sheriff gets smacked in half, mm-hmm. when it cuts back God, to...
That's so cool.
When it cuts back to Willie, the top half of the torso is just in the side of the camera. I'm assuming it's just hanging from like a gurney or something. So it's just like hanging there. There's just a fist hanging there in midair.
Awesome. Could be embedded in the wall, but... probably not.
They were in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
So speaking of the burlap sack of punch pop, I love that he has that nice car and like by all accounts, like does not look to be a vagrant, carries all of his shit in a burlap sack, like one used potato sack.
Show me a better sack.
Bindle.
All right. I take it back. Thank God this isn't a visual medium for everyone else.
Yet.
Yeah. Find us on YouTube.
How's our porn hub account going? We stopped with that idea, right?
Yeah.
We couldn't get it working.
Well, I just haven't had time to pursue it again. So
you keep getting distracted.
Yeah. Every time I log in, like something else comes up.
Sort of like edging for us being on there.
I think this is a very fun movie. I think it's a very low commitment film. Like you don't need to ask much of yourself and you shouldn't ask much of this movie. Yeah.
Or your wife.
One thing about my wife, until 13 minutes into this movie, thought we were watching a Willy Wonka movie.
Oh, yeah, okay. Different.
It's like, when does Gene Wilder come out?
It was off to a very strange start.
Nick Cage is a mute Willy Wonka?
Yeah, she was just rolling with it for 13 whole minutes.
So I found myself, I was watching on Hulu, which I think everyone probably was. And you can skip like 10-second increments on Hulu like really rapidly. And I found myself only jumping to the fight scenes because I just didn't give a shit about anything else.
They don't really build the tension between them. It was terrible at like building any sort of tension. It was just stuff happened.
Yeah. And like the cuck dude, like who fucking cares? Like you're pining after Liv and then the weird like chameleon is going to try and fuck you or whatever. And you deserve to die.
Yeah. Like the terrible teenagers were just regular terrible, not like satire terrible, like the Tucker and Dale kids or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tucker and Dale. I love that movie.
See, Tucker and Dale's great because it's a good comedy and a good horror. This was not good at either one of those. Like, I think somebody mentioned your mom and dad episode. It's not a good horror movie. It's not a good comedy movie. Not like something like the Evil Dead show where they do a good job of both.
That's terrific because that's my opinion about Mom and Dad. Yay. But I have the exact opposite opinion here where it's like, it's not like a great comedy. It's not a great horror, but... I don't know. I feel like it's at least there's more commitment to, I don't know. Maybe I just like the character of the janitor more.
I do like the character of the janitor.
Oh, then Brent.
There's something charming about this movie that I'll watch it. I don't think I would say no if somebody was like, want to watch it. I was like, sure.
Why not?
It's a low commitment for me. It's like,
it is 90 minutes.
It's something you can just kind of go in and out of. I do love all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that it ends on Freebird.
Yeah. Our second
that
movie.
That is so strange. Like, had they just... Because, I mean, they made up new fucking songs for this movie. Yeah. Had they just made up a Freebird-esque tune, nobody would have thought twice about it. That would have been fucking funny.
Also, for the licensing right to play Freebird, you could have, like, made the Willy fight actually look good.
Don't call it the Willy fight.
It was Willy fight, though. I mean,
when Nick Cage pulls out his tummy sticks, and
I do want the Willy's Wonderland theme to have it for reasons that are not going to go into.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's your birthday,
and we want you to have fun.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Knees and toes.
This is still the only time that I ever hear anything beyond that part of that song ever. And then I have to remember that it's like, oh yeah, it's like shins and hips and tummies and ears, that's the weird
horny version that they made. It is not that.
Those hips don't lie. That's the Shakira version.
I disagree. That's the,
if you sing it to a child, you do not do the tummies and hips.
I disagree.
Yeah, I don't remember a second part of the song. I remember the second verse.
Like, I remember that there is a second verse, and it does talk about other body parts.
Yeah, it's eyes, ears, mouth, and nose. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Okay, but where do the tummies and the hips come in?
For killing teens.
Nice.
Get us out of this one.
Some teens die in Wild at Heart, so Wild at Heart.
No. Well, no,
we gotta talk about...
Fuck
where's
off.
Where's the Matrix? You can't segue now. Take it back.
That was really grasping, too.
You don't need to get us out of there.
What teens died in that?
The car turned over.
Oh, I mean, the people who are teens.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if this were the 90s, we could be playing teens right now.
That's correct.
Yeah. The other half of the Twin Peaks cast when they die.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. Also, one of the teens is Audrey Horne. So yep. There was that. One of like six Twin Peaks people in this. I forget how many.
Yes.
No, we'll get into that in a minute. All right. Got to still talk about one more thing on Willy's Wonderland. So,
In the Matrix of Willy's Wonderland, whether it's a good movie, a bad movie, a good Nicolas Cage performance, a bad Nicolas Cage performance, or somewhere in the middle, where do you rank this film and this Cage?
Not great movie, but the Cage performance was solid. I think the janitor was the strong point of the whole movie.
That's how he overcame all those obstacles, through strength.
Yeah.
That's true.
Through sheer tyranny of will.
Gumption gets you far.
Yeah, I'm with that assessment. It is not a good movie. Like, on paper, this doesn't fly. It's a great Nicolas Cage performance. It's magnetic. I'll use that.
Magnetic's a good word for it.
Yeah.
Not a good film, but a very entertaining performance by Nicolas Cage. I forgot when he is going to fight the fairy and the chameleon. And he's got like his...
The menage a trois.
Mm. And she's when him in profile and he just starts shaking.
When he kills...
Siren Sarah?
Yeah, Siren Sarah. By like snapping her neck.
Oh, with his legs?
With his legs. So he's just sitting on her face. And I'm like, oh, you can't show this in England. Did they ban face sitting in porn?
What?
Oh, this would have been like a decade and a half.
We gotta talk
ago.
To Daryl.
Oh, I mean,
ask Daryl right now. Daryl.
Yeah. Daryl, can you watch face sitting porn?
Can you sit on a face?
Is it allowed? Now, the funniest part of the movie I found probably was when he took his break in the middle of a fight and just handed the girl the blade. That was one of my favorite parts.
That's when I wanted to know how long his breaks were, because like, how long was she fighting that chameleon?
Yeah, like how long was she just alone trying to stab that thing?
At least 10 minutes.
BBC article. Why are people face sitting outside of Parliament?
Why are people face sitting outside of Parliament?
Yeah. So it was only a decade ago now.
It's still relevant.
Yeah. That they banned a bunch of different sex acts in porn in British, including face sitting.
Did they return them to the people?
Put them right back on the faces.
I'll do my research tonight.
Prohibition all over again.
Yeah.
But with face sitting instead of bootleg face sitting.
Where do you put this movie on the grid?
Bad, good, bad, entertaining.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had a good time. I skipped most of a 90-minute movie by fast forwarding.
Yeah, I was gonna say it hardly qualifies as watching the movie. That's like how most people watch porn. You're just fast jumping through to the parts that are like,
ooh, until the face sitting
gets gooey. Right,
that's good. Yeah, until the face sitting. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, I've seen enough.
I'm curious, what was your favorite animatronic death in this?
Favorite animatronic death? Not Willy's. He just kind of smashed him. I liked the collie sticks he made out of a mop, and then the spine rip might have been my favorite, because that was pretty good. I remember the face sitting one.
The gorilla gets a curb stomped into a urinal. Like,
it's not necessarily the killing, but I'm still really a big fan of Tito getting hit in the balls with the shotgun.
Yeah.
Why did we have the? Why did we make this curse have us feel things, yeah. Feel pain?
Bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, it was a brutal curb stomp. Is when he killed that guy at the beginning of Wild at Heart.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. That's our transition. Wild at Heart.
Yeah. That's not a bad segue.
Sorry, didn't step on your toes there.
No, it's fine. I'm not good at them, apparently.
I don't know why you're sour about this now. You've had 2 years to learn how to segue.
That movie, it starts fucking horrible. right in there.
Yeah. Starts out hot.
Credits over fire is how we're introduced to this movie. Is just burning.
This is so David Lynch. And I forgot how wildly David Lynch this movie is. He is just the third main character.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, you've got the weird high voice guy for no reason. You've got the weird like murder of the mom's boyfriend. Like, fuck, it's so David Lynch.
Are you talking about the guy who quacked at the bar and then spoke to him in a weird voice? What did he tell him? He warned him that pigeons spread diseases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not the only enigmatic character he meets, because you also have Pete from Twin Peaks. I forget what his character was. Double off something. He goes on about his dog and how his dog bites sometimes.
And you probably picture his dog.
Well, and that was the guy that was Eraserhead too, right?
Yes, he's the Eraserhead guy. Absolutely.
This movie's fucking wild.
So Peter and I watched this one together.
Yeah.
And weird on top. And weird on top.
Peter and I watched this one together, and about 10 minutes into the film, Peter looks at me and goes, "Is David Lynch a good director?" And I didn't have an answer.
Have you watched David Lynch make quinoa?
I have not, but I'm gonna.
I haven't, but I've eaten.
Wait, is that on Pornhub or?
No, you can find it on YouTube or whatever. It's
cowards.
So he did like a series of things at one point. I don't know. He was just posting videos. Like, he would post the weather report every day. But
he would just read California's weather. Also, pull the numbers out of a jar.
For this quinoa one, it's like a black and white video that he shoots at night, and he's making quinoa. He's telling you his quinoa recipe, and he's just smoking over this pot of water while it boils. And then he goes outside to have a cigarette. He just like rambles at you for like 20 minutes while the quinoa sets. And then he goes back in and makes himself a plate of like barely visible quinoa because it's nighttime and he's got like two lights on and it's in black and white. And he just eats quinoa and probably smokes another cigarette while he does it.
Okay, so he is a good director.
Absolutely.
He's insane. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I told this story when we first did Wild at Heart, but I used to work at a Barnes & Noble, and the person who like got guests to come talk there got David Lynch to come talk about a book he'd written. But David Lynch won't do a public appearance if he can't smoke inside. So most places have to like get special dispensation from like the city to have like indoor smoking just so he'll come and talk.
That is a power play.
David Lynch and David Chappelle, like, they're gonna smoke.
So this movie is crazy.
Yeah.
I love it and hate it. Like, I think it sucks and it's amazing.
It kind of describes David Lynch for me in general. Like, it's a whole thing of he wants you to feel things, and that's not always a good feeling he wants you to have.
No, he definitely keeps you like from being comfortable.
Yeah, no, feel disconcerted and very uncomfortable at certain parts of a lot of his movies, especially anytime Bobby Peru's on screen. I just like feel slime on me.
So Bobby Peru, Willem Dafoe's character, he has such a profound impact on me when I think about this movie that I forget that he's only in the last like 30 minutes.
And his head gets blown off.
Yeah.
With the spine still attached.
Yeah, that's gross.
Not as gross as his teeth.
What's really impressive in this movie is I think this is the creepiest Willem Dafoe I've seen. And he can really play creepy.
Like, this is creepier than Poor Things Willem Dafoe.
Yep.
Yeah, no, wait.
I don't know what's worse, his mustache or his teeth or his like
persona.
Yeah, his personality.
Every single thing about his character is gross.
Oh, man.
I will tell you, the thing that lives rent free in my brain from this movie is Mr. Big Round Balls.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what a weird, like, is that a compliment or an insult? It's like, I had a friend of mine who in college would just his insult was, "You big dick bitch." And it's like, thank you.
So I got a question for all of you. Fuck, marry, kill Bobby Peru's mustache, Bobby Peru's teeth, and Bobby Peru's personality.
Oh boy.
Fuck the mustache.
You know, okay.
No. Marry the mustache.
Marry the mustache. Kill the teeth.
Fuck his personality.
There's no good options here.
Really, they're all terrible.
God damn it, Nick.
You know what? I think I'm going to fuck the teeth because they're small and I don't think they'll get in the way.
They seem pretty gross and jagged.
Yeah, they're not going to offer up a lot of resistance.
This podcast is over. I'm turning this podcast around.
Marry the mustache and definitely kill his personality.
All right, Lunchbox, your take.
Oh, I don't know if I want to play this game.
Go ahead, get canceled with me.
The mustache is maybe the most appealing, so maybe marry that. Kill his teeth. Oh, what does that leave? Oh, that leaves
the personality.
Also, I mean, the guys in this room seen my attempts at relationships. I like an abusive relationship.
Oh god.
I don't like myself that much.
Don't be in a Bobby Peru. If there's one thing everyone should take away from Wild at Heart and this podcast, don't be Bobby Peru. Don't talk about yourself in third person.
Don't assault, don't take a leak in front of Laura Dern against her will. Apparently he actually did. He accidentally
in a non-functioning toilet.
why did they use fake audio for that? It's so bad. It's just like somebody dumping a bucket of water.
Yeah.
No. Well, they probably just looped it in. So just to make it, you know.
I'm gonna put my own version of that audio in right now. I'm gonna go dump a bucket of water in the yard.
The thing that sticks out in my, that will not leave my brain, is the close up of Bobby Peru smiling with the stocking over his head.
Oh yeah.
Also, why a stocking? Like, how is that a convincing disguise?
Because it's a classic.
Yeah, but
it is a classic.
It's a fucking classic.
I mean, look at Raising Arizona.
Look, they're just holding up a seed bank.
Is it supposed to be like a dark stocking? Is that going to, like, because, like, well, they just look like them, but their noses are slightly smashed.
And you can't tell their hair, and I don't know, maybe from a distance. Let's go get some stockings.
All right. I have some.
Well, I don't want to wear your stockings.
And I don't want your giant head to stretch them out.
I would. I'd stretch the crotch part out really hard. Then I'd put it on my head.
All right. So Lunchbox, give us a like top level review of this movie. Like, what happens? Give us the overall story.
The overall story? Jeez, I took way too many notes on Wild at Heart. So that could be problematic. But what general story is, you would have the love story between Sailor and Lulu. It starts off with fire and the curb stomping at the very beginning of the movie. Well, technically banister stomping. But it's a pretty normal scene where they're just like at some gala or something at Cape Fear, and this guy just casually talks to him, and it's like, hey, I got hired to kill you. And he just whips out a knife and tries to kill him and gets his head smashed in.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, and then heavy metal music play. I looked it up. It was Slaughterhouse by Power Mad is that heavy metal song that constantly plays.
Oh, that makes sense, because they were all excited about Power Man playing.
Yeah, it's the band they go to see.
Power Man knows Elvis. They're classic. They're classically trained.
I forgot how long that scene goes on for. He sings the whole song.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, like the whole song. This is like, what, at the beginning after he gets out of jail and they go to the concert, and then the dude starts dancing with Lula because Sailor gets all caught up in his dancing, and then Sailor stops the entire concert to confront the dude and then smash his face into a lit cigarette butt on the ground. Yeah. And then he sings the cruiser with, he just gets the band to toss him a mic. And he just croons her, and then they go back to the room.
I love you how he's just like, you guys seem like real solid fellas, and you got real Big E energy. And like, he calls Elvis Big E. And he's like, you guys, you know this one? Hit it.
So they spend like, what, 20 minutes just driving and banging in hotel rooms and smoking a lot of cigarettes. I tried to count in the movie. There's like 30 cigarette smokings in this movie.
Oh. So this
he does double dip a couple times too. Yeah.
This would be like the David Lynch equivalent of a drinking game, just a smoking game. Just they smoke and see if you can put down a pack and a half of cigarettes in 2 hours.
Oh. I love it. The first time I saw the movie, when she told him she was pregnant, he lit 2 cigarettes. I thought he was going to give her one. I'm like, okay, we're going to have a good day. But she starts smoking the 2 cigarettes.
Yeah, he does that in prison again, too, later on. It's so good. It's like, this is how he deals.
Right into his son he's never seen, or daughter.
Peter and I were trying to figure this out.
Picante.
How many films does Nick Cage miss, like, large swaths of his children's lives because he's in jail?
Because there's a lot of crossover with Con Air, except he gets his kids
stolen.
Mm-hmm. And he again gets a stuffed animal for the kid.
Sailor has zero trouble getting the stuffed animal to his kid, for the record.
Yeah, no, he walks up and hands it to him.
Like so easy. See how difficult is that?
But then he does have an anxiety attack and bolts moments later.
Nah, I shouldn't be a daddy.
We're skipping right to the end, but he has an anxiety attack, bolts. Gets beat the brakes beat off of by some gangsters. And then Laura Palmer visits him and gives him some advice. What does she tell him? Like, it's if you're wild at heart, don't give up on love. So he's like, all right. I wrote down the specific line he told her because I'm a manslaughterer and a robber and I didn't have any parental guidance.
I just love how they keep saying manslaughterer. Like, that's how. Is that the preferred nomenclature?
Yeah, manslaughter.
Well, he calls himself a murderer and, like, Laura Dern calls him out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, you're exaggerating. You're just a manslaughterer. I love the scene where at one point Luna's driving, where they jam out with the gas station dudes, like, tapping along and, like, just waves them off. And she smokes in the car in front of, like, 3 no smoking signs with the gas pump. And then they're driving down the road. Like, Sailor's sleeping, and Luna's trying to, like, find some music. And, like, literally every station she turns to is, like, rape, murder, slaughter, bunch of dead turtles. Like, we're using crocodiles to eat corpses in the river. And she just has a panic attack and pulls over on the side of the road. So they have to find some metal to thrash it out.
Did he really flip out of that fucking car? I hope he did.
It looked like he did. That didn't look like it was cut.
Based on everything I've seen interview-wise from him in that time period, yeah, I'd say he did.
He probably did do that backflip out of the car and then, like, hoo-ha!
Didn't he go on a talk show and do, like, a flip? And was, like, super confident?
Yeah. Yeah, he was hyped.
Yeah, he was hyped for that movie.
He understands how to make a movie Texas style.
I didn't see any cowboy hats, but they did make that porno Texas style. And I wonder, what do they mean by that? And then they show you what they mean by that.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas. And don't forget the silent cowboy and I'm assuming porn producer who just stared down. It was just the cowboy and the business dude who stared down Sailor as he was going to his room. That's the porno cast, I think.
This movie's so fucking wild.
Yeah.
At heart. I don't know. I just feel like so much of it is like these weird vignettes and like none of it really matters. It's just sort of adventures of Sailor and Lula.
Well, it's based off of a series of shorter pulp novels.
Right.
So,
it makes perfect sense that that would be how this shook out, but it is pretty weird to watch as a sequence.
Yeah. I mean, it's tied together about as well as it could be, I think.
Yeah.
A little more coherent than most of David Lynch's other stuff, though, because he's not always the biggest fan of literal logic. Big fan of dream logic and time is fluid. So, like, it's a lot more structured than his typical work, I'd say, at least. But it does have, like, random vignettes on the road, kind of like The Straight Story did.
I did enjoy how no villains in this movie got their comeuppance, except for Bobby Perdue.
Peru.
Yeah, Bobby Peru got his head blown.
Yeah, the mom never got her way. In fact, her photo melted when it got wet.
They did the Wicked Witch thing.
She was the Wicked Witch.
Throw
the water on the picture. And she did have a mental breakdown So she kind of got hurt.
Yeah, she got broken mentally, and that was great.
But Santos didn't have anything bad happen to him.
No.
Other than, I guess, he didn't get that pussy.
No.
And what's her face? Isabella Rossellini.
Just books it.
She's just gone.
In the wind.
With her bad hair.
Yeah, weird wigs. So many weird bad wigs in this movie, but like clearly bad wigs.
I think Lynch just doesn't give a shit about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think he's got an aesthetic that kind of borders on like more mental fuckery than visual
cohesion
necessity.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment.
Yeah, I love it though.
I really do enjoy it.
Josie and I were watching this and we're like, man, it's probably about time to watch Mulholland Drive again. Like, yeah, probably. So back to Wild at Heart. I loved the I really enjoy, and I get into the weird and wildness of a David Lynch aesthetic for the movie, and I'll only talk about this one like for this moment, but everything from like the cuts to fire and like the memories, like the way he shows memories, the really saturated filters on the lenses and everything. It's such a, he's a better Wes Anderson. Like, he has his own clear style that nobody else can do.
I'm so mad that I actually really agree with you. Like, this is fucking spot on.
Yeah, like nobody makes a David Lynch movie but David Lynch. Like, nobody makes a Wes Anderson movie like Wes Anderson, but you could. And you just need to know 130 like famous people to fill out the cast.
And one Bill Murray.
Yeah. But I don't know. Something about David Lynch's style is so just unbelievable to me. And like, I just never know what's going to happen. Yeah. And so when I watch one of his movies, I'm like, oh, fuck, why is it this now? Oh, OK. Like, oh, this room's all made out of giant red curtains. Cool. Well, oh, this is 30 minutes now. Yeah. OK, we're doing that.
Well, when Peter asked me, is David Lynch a good director? My only thing was like, I think he's a good director for David Lynch films.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's quite good at those.
Yeah.
Not for the typical film, although he did almost make a Star Wars, which would have been bizarre.
I cannot imagine.
David Lynch's Rebel Moon.
Yeah.
Well, okay. He made Dune. So let's think about David Lynch's Dune.
Yeah.
I try not to on a regular basis.
In a Star Wars setting. So he's had Toto do a soundtrack. Would Star Wars just be all yes?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I want backward talking Darth Vader.
Yeah, man, that would have been such a movie. If only we could live in that reality.
One day.
But it would be very unique. It'd be the most unique Star Wars movie they made.
It could just be a one-off single episode of The Mandalorian, and I'd be happy.
Yeah, if only we could get that 45 minutes of just like David Lynch Star Wars story, that'd be pretty great.
It would just be the Christmas special backwards.
Oh, I like that.
You mean Tobor, it's robot spelled backwards. Tobor, it's robot spelled backwards.
So on the grid of good movie, good cage, bad movie, bad cage, good, bad, bad, good, where do we put Wild at Heart?
I think it is a good movie that is weird and I hate and love. And it is a great Cage performance.
Now, okay, I'll answer this, but I also want to say, like, of the matchup, I think it's just awesome that we had these two movies that have different approaches to the language, with Nicolas Cage saying nothing in one film and the almost romanticized approach to language that you get in this movie, because it, like, they don't talk like people. No. Like, they're talking almost like it's a period piece, but the period could really be, I mean, anytime pre-cell phone.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. I love the way they said things, like when they get in the car to, when Sailor and Lula get in the car to take off, and it's like, stab it and steer. It's like, that's a fucking great way to say, just punch it, Chewie.
Yeah.
Even mentions how she has a strange way of saying things.
Yeah. And it's the whole cast. Like, everybody just talks kind of strangely. There's just a love affair for talking and like the way you can say things in this film.
Well, you mentioned how like David Lynch has his signature. Like if you know what to look for, you can tell something's a David Lynch thing. And like odd dialogue is definitely one of them. Like yeah. You have some pretty natural odd dialogue in Twin Peaks, but it wasn't really just David Lynch doing David Lynch. It's weirdly timed dialogue. People almost seem out of sync.
Yeah, like there's almost a meter to like how he writes things out or has people say it that just kind of like throws it.
Yeah, like quirky in an odd way, not like not the kind you usually see. It's a very unique kind.
Yeah, it gets your attention for sure, and it made me pay attention. I could pull up any scene in this movie and be like, oh man, I fucking love this line right here just because of delivery or oddness.
I took note of so many lines they said because they were just great one-liners. I forget what the last thing you think.
Oh, give me your top quote.
I do like the last one he told his, what was the last advice he gave his son was win before you end up dancing at the end of a rope with no music. Yeah. With the last advice he wanted to give his son before leaving his life forever.
Yeah, his son that he met like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, his son that he just met. And then in the car, he's like, you know what? You guys would be better off without me. Peace.
And Pace just gives him his cool look, his cool guy face, like, I'm intimidated by this new daddy. New daddy.
That and the line, my favorite line is probably the line with the good witch. The I'm a manslaughterer and a robber, and I didn't have parental guidance, which he brings up at the beginning of the movie by telling her about when he's describing how he started smoking at 4 years old, I think. And he's like, yeah. My mom died of cancer. My dad died of cancer drinking. Pretty much everybody in my family died of that. But I didn't really have much parental guidance. At least that's what the public defender kept telling me.
Yeah. And I like how he's like, he was a good man. He stuck by me. That's the closest to a father figure he ever had was his public PD, defender.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. That's the only guidance he's had in his life. Yeah. It explains his character a lot.
This is a great film and such an interesting performance from Nick Cage, and one I don't think we've seen a performance like this. We haven't seen from him really since.
Yeah, it is pretty unique amongst the
weird. But that's might be the Lynchiness of it.
This film definitely came out 1990, and it's before his big action movie turn, and kind of after some of his more adventurous early films, Vampire's Kiss and stuff like that. I don't know. It seems like it's such a first wave Cage kind of film.
It was definitely a good peanut butter jelly of weirdness. I think he even read this got him out of method acting because David Lynch was kind of looser with the script and rewrites and wanted him to like play with the character more. Mm. So I think it ended up influencing him a lot from what I read, at least. But it is a good blend. It's not his typical weirdness.
Yeah, I mean, you get a little bit of just David Lynch leaking in, and it's really nice.
But there's the important thing of that was his actual jacket that he gave Laura Dern afterwards. So that's insane that it was just out of his closet.
It wouldn't be the first time he's brought his own personal properties. Because maybe it was the first.
It might have been the first, yeah.
But the car that he drives in Sorcerer's Apprentice was his car, and that's pretty cool too.
Well, and one thing I don't think I've heard anybody mention is that jacket is in a video game series. Like, there is a primary character in the Yakuza game series that wears that. Majima wears that exact.
Yeah. That is,
and he's my favorite character in the whole series. And it also represents individual freedom and or whatever the line was.
Yeah. I've been trying to find like a good quality snakeskin jacket for the last 2 years now, and I gotta say it's not something I'm gonna find online. I'm gonna have to start going to like snake dealers,
snakemen,
and start talking to.
This is how we actually meet Nicolas Cage. You just in like talking to a snake dealer.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm also Nick Cage's snake guy.
That would be beautiful.
Could we get that guy on the podcast?
Probably.
I'll throw back in to where we were and say that I fucking love this movie. It's a great movie and a great Nicolas Cage. I'm high on this horse.
So,
but I shouldn't be smoking horse.
Don't smoke horse. That's when you get that weird high voice and talk about pigeons or whatever the fuck.
High on a horse. That could be sniffing glue.
Mm, yeah. Oh.
Ooh, yeah, get that hoof.
I'm a hoof man myself.
Hoof and mouth disease.
You don't eat it.
All right, so what movie goes forward? And we'll pitch it to Lunchbox first.
Yeah. Which movie do you think should go forward?
Did I need to do the good cage, bad cage? Well, I mean, I went into this bias. I think it's great cage, great movie. Even one of the lower David Lynch movies is better than most other movies, in my opinion.
Yeah. They just offer so much. They're rich in world setting.
And nothing else.
And clear. Oh, God.
God.
Don't even. Okay. We're going back. We're talking about Del. God, I love Del.
I'm making a sandwich.
I love Crispin Glover, and I love Crispin Glover.
I'm so glad you said that. I had a whole like page on Del. He's one of my favorite bits of the movie.
It's He's so weird guy. For something that's like 2 minutes long.
Yeah. It's our second Crispin Glover like cameo in a Nicolas Cage movie. And it's just insane.
It doesn't leave an impression. The guy obsessed with crystals who has cockroaches in his underwear.
He was putting a cockroach on his butthole.
Right on his anus.
Yeah, right on his anus. Also, like, middle of the night in the dark, pile of sandwiches. What are you doing, honey? I'm making my lunch.
He's just destroying the sandwiches. Like, he makes sandwiches and then dices them up, like, with his fist.
Oh, yes.
I just can't get over his weird, like, weird butthole dance with the roaches. He's just sort of, like, writhing around. He doesn't look sad, though.
I mean, would you? With roaches on your butt?
Check back next week.
Did we see if Del was on to something?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, are you going to rock, paper, scissors?
What? No, I was going to finish this up real quick so that I can get distracted again.
Get high on that horse.
Yeah, Lunchbox, your opinion.
Yes, my opinion was
Wild at Heart.
Well, yeah.
Not to lead the witness.
Yes, definitely.
All right, Nick?
I'm a Wild at Heart guy. This is definitely my movie.
You're wearing the shirt.
I was going to say Primal, but I guess I'm outvoted here. I'll go Wild at Heart.
Mm, if Primal's on the table, I'd have to go Wild at Heart still. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything. This is a great movie. It's fucking weird, and I am uncomfortable, but I really like it. And Willy's Wonderland is fun, and people should watch it. It's 90 minutes. Fucking crush it.
Yeah.
But
it's only 20 if you skip all of it like Peter did.
Yeah, man, it rules. Just like kind of get all to the action.
You know what? That might have been a better way to watch that movie.
You can skip all the teenagers doing dumb shit and you can just get like him fighting robots and playing pinball and dancing. It rules.
Yeah, I think it would have been way better if it was just no dialogue, him fighting monsters. There's like a couple lines of dialogue from the sheriff looking guy who owned the place at the beginning and end of the movie. That's all you need.
You know, it just came to me now, but I do really like that he doesn't talk, much like Link never talks.
Oh.
So he's just your silent protagonist.
I did have a thought of he very much seemed like a video game protagonist. He was literally just walking around quietly, dealing with problems, taking quests as presented to him, and doing the quests.
Yeah, he would engage in conversations.
Now, if only my D&D players would do that.
I don't know.
Well, shit. Thanks for being here, Lunchbox. Do you have anything that you want to pitch and promote?
Yeah, where can people find you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm always terrible at this. You can find me on Instagram as the main place I post my art, at lunchbox_ink with a K, because I think I'm clever. That's where I post all my drawings and my tattoo stuff, which is my day job. I'm manager over at a tattoo shop over by UNCC over here in Charlotte.
Cool.
And then I do digital illustration and such on the side when I'm not busy drawing at Cage.
He keeps putting out stuff. So
yeah, this fucking guy.
I mean, I'm 70 something Nick Cages in. I don't know how many Nick Cages.
Yeah, you only have like 50, 55 more or so to go.
If I'm more than halfway, I think I can catch up. And then I have to draw him from memory as part of the challenge. What I did was, I drew Nick Cage from memory before starting any of this, before immersing myself. I took a video of myself drawing one of them, and then I'm going to draw them from memory again and see if I do.
That's awesome.
All right,
so I hope it's exactly the same.
He has 118 films, and he has 5 upcoming, on according to IMDb, including another Lords of War, which
no.
The Carpenter's Son. Oh yeah, the Horror Jesus movie.
Yeah, Horror Jesus.
The Gunslingers, Long Legs, and Noir TV series. I'm assuming that's Spider-Man.
That's Spider-Man, yeah.
But it only says two episodes.
Interesting. We'll find out.
So 120 something cages on the horizon.
123.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I can do this. It's like 50 something more. Yeah. It's great practice. I hope they've gotten better as I've thought.
Do you have a favorite Nicolas Cage hairstyle or hairline to draw?
That's a really good question. I appreciate that question. Raising Arizona hair is fun. I like the old spike.
Such good hair.
I've got to do a lot of long hair cages, a lot of facial hair cages. I like drawing the facial hair cages. You know, you get some more distinct, you know, you get to have some fun in the chin area instead of having to get it just right.
I will say I do not care for his beard in Willy's Wonderland. I think it needs to come back along the under jaw portion more.
Agreed.
Like, he cuts it too far away from the Adam's apple.
Not his strongest beard he's had. It's not like red.
It's not like Drive Angry or
Yeah. Or Pig. He has a solid beard.
Pig's a good beard.
Pig's a good beard. And he wears a union suit.
Have you guys had a list of like the where you rate his facial hair or body hair?
We talk about sternum bush.
I go by his sternum bush a lot.
Which Sean's ex-wife apparently.
Yeah, Meredith sent me a voice message last week being like, you're going to think I'm stupid for this, but I thought you were saying stern man bush for the longest time. Not sternum bush,
which is 100% what it's going to be from now on. It is a stern man bush,
just a gruff pubic area.
Yeah, you get it. Stern man bush.
So you need to rate the sternum bush and the like facial hair per movie. Which Wild at Heart did have sternum bush some, I believe.
It did. He did.
Also, how far back the hairline is, we the, read that too.
The chest hair in Wild at Heart always gets me because it looks like he had it shaved in like a capital I and then grew the pec hair back out. Like, he had shaved it away previously. It's just thicker in the center and the underlining.
Well, because Valley Girl would have been around before that, so he probably was shaved.
Yeah.
Is that the one where he was on the beach? And had like a Y on it. It looked like it was in a purposeful shape on the beach. I remember Valley Girl. It looked strangely intentional. Like, God doesn't grow facial chest hair in this sort of shape.
Our God does.
Nicolas Cage.
Last thoughts? Anything?
Both these movies are worth watching. Go watch them.
Yeah.
But definitely watch Wild at Heart when you're ready to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. Like, Willy's Wonderland, you can chill.
Yeah, that's Willy's Wonderland while you make dinner.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for being here. And anyone who is interested in chatting with us, we are on social media at @cage_match_pod on Twitter. Fuck you, Elon Musk. I'm never going to call it X. And Instagram. And then if you are interested in supporting us on Patreon, we are there at Cage Match. And special thanks to our Sparkle buddies, Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, and Bill. And our cage dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, and Nathan.
Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah,
it was really nice to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah. Sometime when I go visit my brother down in Orlando, I'll have to stop over North Carolina and maybe get a Nicolas Cage tattoo from you.
I have to tattoo Nick Cage at some point on somebody.
Fuck yeah.
I am amazed you haven't.
Yeah, I don't know how I haven't. Like, I'll do it on myself. I've tattooed myself several times. I've just started the project of tattooing my own left arm, which has been fun. Yeah.
Well, I hope to be your first.
Your first non-person to tattoo. Nick. I'm Nick.
You should get the pig from Pig.
Oh, you should. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me again.
You as well.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, just in case we need it, I'm going to say we're going to talk to Daryl real quick about Bobby Peru and put it in right here.
Okay. We'll edit that out when we never get a hold of Daryl.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't seen that movie in such a long time. My real solid only memory of it. Wait, there were tiny people in it at some point. And then I think there was the like trash man, like not trash person. Trash let me rephrase. There was the person by the dumpsters. Uh-huh. That's like a jump scare with the classic David Lynch, like
just random trash bag out of nowhere.
Yeah, trash man. That's all I remember. I think there's a dead person. I don't know.